This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to Place to Be Nation's Extra Point with knowledgeable analysts and exclusive special guests. It's your look at the world of sports through the eyes of Place to Be Nation. And now your hosts, Scott Criscolo and Dr. G, George Ribellino.
Place to Be Nation. We are back and always better than anybody. Welcome to the Big Hurt edition of your home for everything sports, the best on the internet. Place to Be Nation's Extra Point. I am your co-host, Scott Criscolo. Obviously, if you know sports, you know what number this episode is. If I've said the Big Hurt edition, and of course I need to bring in my compadre, who wore the same sneakers I did when the Big Hurt was in his prime, the doctor, Dr. G, George Ribellino. Don't you wish we had those? Those were the most comfortable sneakers ever.
They were.
We're talking, of course, about the Big Hurt, Frank Thomas. It is episode 35 of The Extra Point. And what was that, 95, I guess? 94, 95?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
He had those awesome. It was the first time I ever wore sneakers with Velcro on them. So
we were styling in those days.
We were styling in those days. You, me, and the V-Man.
I love when you open up the show and you give that like little Triple H, go, Place to Be Nation.
Well, I am the King of Kings. And I am the CEO of whatever. Anyway, welcome to The Extra Point. A little cornucopia this week. We don't really have much of a format, per se. We're going to talk about a myriad of things. We will have on, in our second segment, the Boogie of the Bayou. Mr. Andrew Reich will join us. We'll talk about the comings and goings in college basketball. Friars of Providence with a win tonight as they beat Seton Hall. And we'll talk about some of the teams that may be sitting on the bubble as the conference tournaments began this week, some of the lower-level, you know, mid-majors, including this weekend, the MAC tournament, which is a tournament I pay attention to besides the Big East tournament, of course. The MAC tournament this weekend up at the Times Union Center in Albany. Of course, I am following my beloved Stags of Fairfield. They are terrible. they had a dreadful season this year.
The one game I went to, I was like, wow.
Yeah.
I think that UB could beat them.
I went to, let's see, they had three wins in conference, and I went to one of them. That was the one back in December. They beat Manhattan. They beat Siena up in Albany, and then the regular season finale, which I couldn't make at home, they beat St. Peter's. But they will play St. Peter's Thursday night up in Albany, and if they win, they play Ryder on Saturday. But the conference tournaments are beginning, and we'll have Andrew Reich on in our second segment to talk about as we get closer. Speaking of college hoops, do not forget, down the hall in the big studio on Monday, March 15th, Place to Be Podcast, will have their fourth annual March Madness preview show. My PIC, Mr. Justin Rosero, and myself will be joined by Andrew Reich, Matt Rotella, my brother Chris Criscolo, and we will pick the tournament.
Who says you get the big studio?
Well, it is the flagship show. We have the biggest sports studio. The other one smells funny. But, we are the biggest. But, you know, the Place to Be Podcast is the mothership. But we are the mothership of sports shows. So don't forget. So stay tuned for that on March 15th, Place to Be Podcast, our fourth annual March Madness preview special. So Andrew Reich will come on in our second segment. And did you order a pizza? You ordered some squares, didn't you, from Brooklyn, didn't you?
I wish.
Jesus. Wait a minute. Nah, can't be. He doesn't have the balls. Nah, it's probably the pizza guy. Let's see. Open the door. Oh! Whoa!
Look at these motherfuckers!
Wow, why am I not surprised you pull this? Ladies and gentlemen, it is the Cowboy, Roger Morissette from
that other show.
Well,
oh God, man, I you know how long it took me to find this ice cream truck?
Whoa!
Wow!
Jesus! So George, Dr. G, you know, you might not know what's going on here, but your host put you in a world of hurt. A world of hurt.
Oh, I listen. I know what he's doing.
He shows up at my lounge. My lounge. Big set of beer balls on him. Huge beer balls. Gives senior fucking Steelers jersey. Just trashes the place. Tries to steal Flanagan right out from under my nose. Tries to steal Flanagan. So, George, I'm sorry, but the war has started. I had to come find your ice cream truck that you call a studio. Say, this is gonna be like 2004, George.
Uh-oh.
You guys start, you know, Extra Point. You guys were there first, aching to taking a, you know, 3-game lead. And then the Lounge comes in and just takes care of business, makes history. Makes history. I can't wait to get you guys in a room. I cannot wait to get you guys in a room.
The dagger right in the heart.
Wow. Man, he didn't even bust in on your room.
Wow. Wow.
I say bring it on.
Wow.
I like a little challenge.
All right. Well,
Priscola, we're going to beat you worse than Des Bryant beat that girl in the video that
happened. Hey, there's no proof
yet.
Of that, you. There's no proof of that, you.
So,
you didn't even bring anything. I at least brought gifts. Jesus. You didn't even bring anything.
I got no gifts. You don't want to know what we did with that jersey. That jersey is it's no longer black. We'll just say that.
Oh, ho, ho!
That's how we do in the sports lounge. So I brought a couple of good cigars for you, you know, because at the end of the day, we do have to share space on the same.
What, Swisher Sweets? What'd you bring me over here?
Wow.
Not Swisher Sweets. You'll know when you smoke it.
All right. Well.
So until next time, it's on, guys. It's on. I don't know. I don't think you have the balls to show up in the lounge again, Chris Golo. Senior, I had to hold him back. He was like a dog on a fucking leash. I'm still calming him down.
Well,
you riled him up. That's good. That's good. We'll get you riled up. Let's go. Bring it on. You want to bring 2004 into the mix here?
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Well, there's the door. Leave a tip, Cheapskate. Go. Beat it. Get out of here.
Cowboy out.
Wow.
Should have brought him a David Tyree jersey or something like that.
Wow. I did give a Steve Grogan Feedy pajamas, but wow. I didn't think he'd have the balls. The fucking cowboy came in and hung him in your face. All hairy and sweaty. Hung him in your fucking face, Dr. G. Wow.
It did burn a little of that New England attitude.
There we go. All right. All right. The day will come. The day will come. We got to book it. It's kind of like Pacquiao and Mayweather. We just got to stare at each other for a little bit and see who blinks. But the war will happen between the Extra Point and the Sports Lounge. Who gets the biggest studio? We're actually building here in the PTB Nation complex. We've got a myriad of studios. Place B Podcast does have the biggest because we're the oldest. But we got this beautiful. This is not an ice cream truck either. You know, he's got a lot of fucking nerve. We do have some Spumoni in here too.
Really?
You know?
And pizza.
We do got some squares. Not that cold shit that they eat up there. Wow, he fucking brought up 2004. Man, that's like just kicking you square in the fucking sweaty nads right there.
He basically...
He did. He pretty much said, fuck you. I don't care about your stupid team and your 27 championships. He said, fuck you. He doesn't care.
It took him 80 years, 90 years, or whatever the hell it was to do it. So.
Senior's frothing at the mouth, let me tell you. But the day will come. When the Sports Lounge and the Extra Point battle for the mountaintop. Oof. Well, these are Romeo and Juliet's. He did spend a little money. I don't know how much, but
I thought he was bringing Swisher Sweets.
Anyway. By the way, Flanagan was on our draft preview last year, so partially he still belongs to us. You may not know that, but
he does. What the hell?
I don't know. He actually stole the
first
Flanagan man from us.
Fan, first of all, yeah. I mean, I'm sure he enjoys rubbing in.
Isn't Flanagan's a fan of the Giants? And since we talk about the Giants 87% of the show, you would think he'd want to come on here. Instead.
I told you New England had a shot at winning because they weren't playing the Giants.
We will have a day.
I just tell it like it is.
We will have a day. Yeah. You and Senior, I just want to see you guys battle for. This is going to be,
you know what? Me and Senior is going to be like old school. We'll battle and then we'll go have a drink afterwards.
Yeah. I'm just going to drop a savage elbow on Cowboy. And then we'll have to see, you know, cause we each have great experts in specific sports. If they're going to get somebody to counter my brother, they better have somebody that speaks a minute because If I put a few.
The only person that could speak as much as your brother is you.
Well, that's true. If he gets a couple of Johnny Walker Blues in him, forget it. He'll talk about the 1994 Stanley Cup Finals forever. Speaking of hockey, looking ahead.
Watch out. You never know. I may just all of a sudden rip my shirt off and you'll see the freaking Sports Lounge shirt. Like, you know, like
what? Excuse me?
Yeah, when Mike Tyson, you remember when they had Mike Tyson had the accident and all of a sudden it was Stone Cold?
All right. You know what he did say about you? He says he wants to have a signed picture of Johnny Damon's beard when that when Javi Vasquez's 88-mile-an-hour fastball went into the upper deck in Game 7. That's what he's saying right now. That's what he's saying.
You know, you're saying that, you son of a bitch.
You know what? You son
Johnny
of a bitch.
Johnny Damon was a Yankee and won a championship with
you silly bastard. Yeah, but then he had to shave and he looked funny. All right. Anyway, let's clean the table off and get down to business. Let's look ahead to some of the other stuff we'll be doing in the coming weeks. Of course, our next episode is our big Wham Bam Thank You Ma'am 2015 MLB preview. Your bromance there, Mr. Joel Barnhart, will return.
For Joel.
And we will cover everything, as of course today, Dr. G, on this Wednesday, spring training began in earnest. And the man, A-Rod, your boy, your favorite guy, you and JR both have your little A-Rod t-shirts. You have his jersey. I know you're wearing it right now.
Oh, yeah. First thing out of my closet.
He went 1-for-2 with a walk. With a walk. Speaking of my PIC, to dust off the funk of what just happened, we have some happy news. Because there is a new heir to the throne, or an heir to the throne here at Place to Be Nation. We'd like to welcome the newest member of the family into the fold. As my PIC is a papa for the second time. So congratulations to JR and MR, his beautiful wife, and their lovely son. 9 pounds. This kid's a hoss.
Yeah, he's a hoss.
Big boy. So congratulations to my PIC and family doing very well. And
yes, I'm very, very, very happy for them, and I can't wait to buy him a Yankee.
Well, yes, he will accept that. I guess I'd have to buy him Bruins. I'll either buy him Bruins or Providence, because I do like the Friars, of course. Now, his daughter is a Minnie Mouse fan, so I got to see if we can sway little A-Roz to be a Winnie the Pooh fan. We'll see. Maybe get him into Star Wars. That'd be really cool, too. Anyway, congratulations to my PIC and his beautiful family. All right. Spring training did start today. We'll talk about that briefly. I mean, there's really nothing to talk about, per se. Nothing really crazy happened. It was your team and him coming up to play in his first game, his actual first gameplay in over a year, obviously.
Yeah.
1-for-2 with a walk. You guys lost. Yanks lost to the Phillies today, 3-1. Mets played their first game.
Back to the same old Yankees, not scoring.
Mets were, you know, I mean, spring training. I mean, guys wearing number, 91 and 87 and stuff like that. But the Mets did beat the Braves today 8-2. I don't want to get into too much. I want to talk about two topics with you, Dr. G. One of them baseball related. The other kind of a social issue related. But I don't want to belabor it. But I think it's something we should talk about. Let's talk about this dust up that happened in the Mets locker room between David Wright and Noah Syndergaard, one of their stud young pitchers. For those that don't know the story, the other day, I believe it was Monday, Tuesday.
Yeah.
Noah Syndergaard, in an intra-squad game, was, instead of being on the bench with the rest of the team, talking to each other, working on each other's, looking at flaws in deliveries and batting stances, he was in the clubhouse eating lunch. David Wright, the captain, went down there, was not thrilled, and kind of berated Syndergaard right there in the locker room. And Bobby Parnell, the Mets closer, took Syndergaard's lunch and trashed it. Now, he did it with a smile on his face, so I think he was kind of half kidding. And then the next day, Syndergaard apologized for the breach in protocol. He respects his team and wants to be on it. And David Wright apparently yelled a little too loud, and some reporters were nearby and picked it up. So he apologized to Syndergaard for letting it get too audible. So everything's clear. The captain and the phenom are on okay terms.
Is he officially the Mets captain?
Yes.
Like in an official capacity? Or like...
Yep. Yes. I believe he was captain. I think he was named captain like 2011, I believe. 2011 or 2012, I think he became captain. What are your overall thoughts on this? Was David Wright right? Right.
Well, he's showing a little, he's had his little balls going on. I like it.
Right.
I think you don't want the reporters to get a hold of it, which happened. So, I mean, he did apologize for that aspect. He didn't apologize for what he said, what he thought, you know, for his reason for doing it. But, you know, so I think in that aspect, but no, you know what? You got to get these guys in line because, you know, let's face it. There's a little cockiness going around the Mets camp this year, which is good. There's nothing wrong with that, I think. But David Wright, you know, has been through good times and bad, mostly bad in recent years. And he doesn't want these guys thinking like who the hell they are. You know what? There's protocol to be happening here. And we got to earn it to become a winning team. And then, you know, we got to earn it to start being cocky. I have no problems with what he did at all. I like it. He's the face of New York baseball right now. The Yankees don't have that face right now. So he's the guy. He's not at Jeter's level,
mm-hmm.
But there's not many who ever were at Jeter's level.
Right.
But he's the face of New York baseball right now. And no, I have no problems with it at all. How do you feel about it?
He did the right thing. And I think the guy that looks better here, or I think we've learned is that kind of player is Syndergaard. I think, you know, he could have done a Puig and probably said, yeah, screw you. You know, I'm the shit here. I don't care how old you are, how long you've been here. I'm eating my lunch and
I'm sure that what happened, he wasn't happy about it. Now, Bobby Parnell, I don't know if he needed to really get his nose, you know, he needed to stick his nose in the business, but I guess they were trying to send a statement. Hey, you know, we're veterans. We've been through it all. You're going to have to earn your way here and, you know, follow protocol.
Right.
This isn't some country club here.
Right. No, I concur. No, I had no problem with it. I had no problem with it. I think David Wright, he's never had to really do that before. So he probably didn't realize he was around. And
when I say cockiness, I probably used the wrong word. Confidence. There's a lot of confidence in the Mets camp this year, which is good, mm-hmm. which they need to have. But I think, you know, in David Wright's mind is, listen, we haven't won any games yet. This is spring training. Let's earn our way here, and let's not put that target on our back either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I remember the 86 Mets. I remember that camp after back-to-back. I mean, 84 was a pennant race with the Cubs, but then 85 I remember very, very well. That ugly dogfight with those piece-of-shit Cardinals. And they were assholes, that Cardinal team, too.
Very fired up with the word, the language tonight.
Yeah, I normally don't swear this much, and I apologize, but the cowboy
got you all riled up.
He did get me riled up. I don't like when he kicked the door in. I don't appreciate that. I knock. Well, he did knock, but whatever. Ice cream truck. We have Spumoni in here. We're very high class. Ice cream. Son of a bitch. So 86, they went in feeling pretty good about themselves. I mean, but they were the best team in baseball that year. I mean, player for player, nobody could touch them. This Mets team has.
Before you start, you don't know in their walls in there it says Frigidaire because it's a freaking cardboard box. But anyway.
But. I like that. You know, this Mets team is not the 1986 team. So I think they need to, you know, in the immortal words of the great one, know your role and shut your mouth. Let's go out there and show it on the field. This isn't the 86 team. You know, these guys, they weren't guys that were all pros. There's no Carters and Keiths and, you know, they don't have those kind of veterans on this team. So.
But I would say right now, I think the Mets actually have a little more pressure going into the season than the Yankees do. I mean, the Yankees are
probably
having a win. But what I'm saying is, I guess the expectations are bigger for the Mets this year than the Yankees.
Right. So that happened and everything's fine and, you know, whatever. It was just an interesting story. And And the Mets opened their spring training with a win today over the Braves. I think actually tomorrow, Thursday, they face Max Scherzer. I think they, I know they play the Nationals. I'm pretty sure Scherzer's pitching, so should be interesting. He'll only pitch a couple innings, but
should be an interesting division.
Yes. Well, we'll talk about that and the other five with our man Joel Barnhart next week.
Well, you know, I'm watching the Dodgers and the White Sox.
What are they on MLB?
I know MLB TV from this afternoon, and there's nobody there.
Well, that's Cactus. I'm sure it's comfortable there. It's only March in Phoenix or Flagstaff, wherever the hell they play.
I know. There's like no one there.
Yeah, that's weird.
And this is – I mean, the Dodgers are, you know, relatively – I don't know.
Well, it's just, it is middle – I mean, it is middle of the week, you know.
Interesting observation.
So, this other story involving the Mets, I mean, look, we're not a politically driven show. I know we support the Washington Redskins, but I know we got to be careful. We have a guest possibly lined up for the next couple months, and he's very anti Redskins. We got to be careful. But other than that, we don't touch, you know, political or social issues, because it's, first of all, it's very divisive, and then you get the wrong element, and you don't want to start fights and lose listeners and that kind of thing. That's not this kind of show. We're not a politically driven show. But I just wanted to mention this story quick. Billy Beane, not Billy Beane, the GM of the A's, former player Billy Beane, is the new MLB Major League Ambassador for Inclusion. Now, for those that don't know, Billy Beane, the former player, is gay. And Daniel Murphy, Mets second baseman, I don't know how long he'll be second baseman. He's been rumored to be traded for a while, but he's going to start the year at second. He respects Billy Beane as a player, but he does not approve of his lifestyle. And he said that in an interview. Quote, I'm going to say quote because this isn't me. I do disagree with the fact that Billy is a homosexual. That doesn't mean I still can't invest in him and get to know him. I don't think the fact that someone is a homosexual should completely shut the door on investing in them in a relational aspect. Getting to know him, that I would say you could still accept them. But I do disagree with the lifestyle 100%. Now he's saying, you know, I said my piece. Now I just want to talk about baseball. He had some other comments. I don't want to get into the whole thing. Should he even said anything?
I think I would just, you know, the way that things are today, I would have just kept my mouth shut personally. You know, your beliefs are your beliefs, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But do you really, you know, you knew, you, especially being in New York, you knew that was just going to be taken to a whole nother level.
Right. Yeah. I mean, obviously, we've had, you know, obviously there's probably a lot of athletes that are in the closet in all four major professional sports. I mean, we've had a lot of retired players come out. I guess the closest active player is Michael Sam, and he's technically not on a team right now. So I wonder if in the back of his mind he was thinking, well, I could probably pseudo get away with this because we're in a culture where, you know, in athletics, we don't really, it's kind of don't ask, don't tell, kind of like the military used to be. But he probably should have just zipped it. Maybe he felt he had a right to say what he said. Maybe he feels that, you know, I'm the one persecuted because I think this way in this society. Well, who knows?
Well, yeah, but, you know, the thing is just, there was no reason to really talk about it.
Right.
you know, you just knew, you know the way things are today. Now you just added wood to the fire and, you know.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to, I don't know what that's going to do for, you know, when he comes back to New York, when the season starts. I don't know if he'll get booed or if there, you know, signs or whatever. Who knows? Anyway, I just wanted to bring that up because it is kind of a, you know, with Michael Sam and as an, you know, an openly gay football player, not on a team at the moment, but it's not something that, you know, the NFL was accustomed to, obviously. So, anyway, I just wanted to bring that up. A lot of NFL stories have popped up the last couple days, most of them involving trades, obviously. And I can't get him on right now, but eventually I'd like to have my PIC on because being the Jet fan that he is, curious what his thoughts are, because obviously Rex Ryan is diving into this Buffalo Bills team and just doing everything. In the last couple days, he's gained a top-flight stud running back, traded a good linebacker, but has got a stud running back, and now he has picked up a quarterback, a serviceable quarterback, but a quarterback nonetheless. The Bills have acquired tailback LeSean McCoy from the Eagles in exchange for, and I want to make sure I get the name right, Kiko Alonso. I knew it was Kiko. I just want to make sure I got the last name right. Who had a good year. He was out all of last season with an injury, but he had great stats in 2013 for the Bills. And, of course, McCoy, stud running back for the Eagles. Maybe the second best running back this year in the NFC behind DeMarco Murray. I know that McCoy was probably not crazy about being traded, but if he really thinks about it, this is perfect for him, don't you think? The way that Rex thinks, you know.
First of all, a lot of players like playing for Rex, and you know, he's bringing some. You know, the word that you use a lot today, he's bringing some balls.
Yep. Talked a lot of that today.
Yeah. He's bringing some balls to the Buffalo Bills franchise. So,
yep.
I think that, you know, he'll become very key to that offense because they still need a quarterback, even though they traded for Castle.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's more of a have to have a veteran to see, you know, if they draft somebody, you know, draft someone. And, you know, Castle can be your starter if need be.
Right, right.
But you need somebody to help out, round out that offense. And, you know, I think that's a great pickup.
I think it's a fantastic pickup. He could rush for 2,000 yards with the Bills just based on that kind of offense. Because, you know, Chip Kelly's Oregon, you know, candy store offense doesn't really rely on tailbacks as much as a great guy like LeSean McCoy deserves more carries. The Eagles are also trying to lift cap room because they're going to try and make a trade. And because I'm sure they want Mariota, but they don't have a pick nearly as good to get him. And then the other move, they picked up Matt Castle from Minnesota for, I believe, a draft pick. Now, Matt Castle is, you know, not the greatest quarterback on the planet. Of course, he had that one awesome season in 2008 with the Patriots. That was the year that Tom Brady blew his knee out in week one in Kansas City. Parlayed that one season into signing with the Chiefs, had a pretty uneventful few years there, and then went to Minnesota. He lost his job this season to Teddy Bridgewater.
Bridgewater, yep.
And now he will probably, he's 32, and he'll obviously compete with E.J. Manuel for the starter. This might not be a bad move. I wonder if E.J. Manuel will be, if he's going to get motivated here. I mean, he struggled mightily. He got benched, obviously, in favor of Kyle Orton, who won some games for the Bills this season. But Kyle Orton went back into retirement.
I don't know. You know,
so,
I think E.J. Manuel will do all right, you know.
Yeah. The Vikings will be in the market.
No, I think this is, you know, I feel that with the way Rex Ryan built his coaching staff,
mm-hmm.
his coaching staff will adapt to what's needed with what they have. You know what I'm saying? They'll work with what they have.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I think Castle's a good pickup. I mean, he's been there. He's started before. He knows. And, you know, maybe light a little fire, you know.
Yeah.
Under E.J. Manuel, you know.
I think so, too. I think the whole culture in Buffalo has changed.
Yes. Without him.
And, you know, free agency kicks in, and you never know what more the Bills could do. Free agency, by the way, is in another 5 days or so, and the Cowboys franchise tagged Dez Bryant. Of course, the big rumor was, as somebody had to mention earlier in the show, about this supposed video of him beating the crap out of his mom and dragging some woman out of a Walmart and all this other stuff. No video is made public. So the Cowboys franchise tagged him because they need to focus on signing DeMarco Murray. And a lot of teams are going to look for DeMarco Murray. So we'll talk more about NFL as time progresses. We obviously, free agency is in a week or so, so I'm sure more moves will happen. And then, of course, the draft will be in May. Coming up in another few weeks is, of course, the Stanley Cup playoffs. And we will have our man TJ McLoone on in the next couple shows to preview the NHL playoffs. And actually, my brother Chris wanted to join us on that episode, Dr. G, probably because his team is so good. As of the moment, the seeds 1 through 8 in the NHL, in the East, it is Montreal, the Islanders, the Rangers, Tampa Bay, Detroit, Pittsburgh, Washington, and Boston. So, and the Bruins are not having a stellar season. They are 2 points ahead of Florida and 5 points ahead of the Flyers for the 8th spot. tough year for the Bruins. A lot of injuries.
Yeah, I'm a Devils fan. That's...
Well, Devils have 64 points, but I mean, you were expected to struggle this year. So, I think you guys are going to start from scratch. Probably need to clean the cap a little bit. In the West, 1 through 8 is Nashville, Anaheim. They're tied, actually. They both have 89 points. How about the Predators, huh? A good year for them.
Yeah, great.
They have lost four in a row.
They've tailed off the last three, 4 games.
St. Louis, 3. Then Chicago, 4. Winnipeg, 5. Vancouver, 6. Minnesota, 7. And Calgary and L.A. are tied with 8. So how about this? 1 year after being Stanley Cup champions, the Los Angeles Kings may not even make the playoffs. I can't remember the last time that happened.
And go run the table again.
What's that?
They'll make the playoffs and then they'll run the table.
Exactly. Yeah, and then Jonathan Quick, Connecticut kid, will get hot, and then they'll win three straight sweeps like they did in 2012. In the NBA, quick peek of the standings at the moment. A playoff spot was clinched this early, and that is the Atlanta Hawks, 48-12. What a job by our man Chad Campbell's Hawks, 48-12. Toronto 2, then Chicago, Cleveland, Washington, Milwaukee, Charlotte, and Miami. Right now, Miami is a half game ahead of Indiana and a game ahead of the Brooklyn Nets. Cleveland still, and 2 through 4 is only a game. Toronto, Chicago, and Cleveland are within a game of each other, so still a battle. LeBron's Cavs could still snag that 2 seed. And we, of course, will have our man Grant Hughes on closer to the playoffs to set things up for us. In the West, Golden State, Memphis, Houston, Portland, the Clippers, Dallas, San Antonio, the defending champs, and Oklahoma City, 1 through 8. Oklahoma City, a game ahead of New Orleans and 2 ahead of Phoenix for the 8th spot. So there's your quick check of the National Basketball Association. Any other sports, any other news stories that pop up? I'll take a peek here.
Well, I'll tell you, I mean, definitely interesting what Rex Ryan's doing with the Bills, though.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's, you wonder how many like Jet fans are out there that really love Rex that are kind of like, you know, the Jets aren't doing anything, I'll kind of hop on the Bills bandwagon.
Did you see this? Oh my God. Quick note, speaking of desserts, since our fearless apparent rival wanted to mention ice cream. Listen to this. The Arizona Diamondbacks will try to top the success of last year's 18-inch bacon and cheese stuffed corn dog by offering a dessert.
Oh, I saw this.
Team president and CEO Derek Hall told ESPN.com on Tuesday that the team's star concession item this year will be a churro dog. The churro dog is a warm cinnamon churro sitting inside a Long John chocolate glazed donut, which is then topped with frozen yogurt, caramel, and chocolate sauce. Estimated calorie count, 1,117. It's 850 at Chase Field. It's 850 at Chase Field. How much do you think it'd be at Yankee Stadium? fucking $17.
$8.50, that's it?
That's it. If that dessert was next to the garlic fries stand at the stadium, you know how much it would be. It'd be friggin' $14. Ready for the, let me give you this. You ready for this? This is the description, in case you didn't hear it, of the D-Bat dog. This was from last season. The D-Bat dog is an 18-inch corn dog stuffed with cheddar cheese, jalapenos, and bacon, served with a side of fries. The price? $25. That's a lot. 18-inch corn dog? That's a lot of money. I don't care what it's stuffed with.
Hmm.
For those who aren't inclined to spend that much money, the team will also sell a Venom dog. This is right up your alley. It's a foot-long habanero sausage. Ooh. Topped with black beans, guacamole, pico de gallo, and sour cream.
The guacamole.
Well, you could probably skip that shit. But the team is also bringing back the Sonoran dog, which was launched last year for $7. It's a hot dog wrapped in mesquite smoked bacon with pico beans and mayo. The $25 hot dog barrier was first crossed in 2012 when the Texas Rangers unveiled the 2-foot boomstick. The hot dog was smothered in chili, nacho cheese, jalapenos, and onions, and it was $26.
Wow.
Oof. So, wow. So anyway, you know that boomstick thing was sold in either our ballparks, would probably be like $50.
Exactly.
Because it's union people making it, that's why. Anyway, when we take a break here on The Extra Point, when we return, we'll be joined by a guy who would eat a boomstick, the Boogie of the Bayou, Andrew Reich. We will talk some college hoops, conference tournaments getting underway, get ready for March Madness. More on The Extra Point right after this.
What's up, everybody? This is Kevin Kelly. Make sure you check out every episode of The Kevin Kelly Show right here on the Place to Be Nation. PlaceToBeNation.com, The Kevin Kelly Show. Every episode is a winner. At least we hope.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials one and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on PlaceToBeNation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Looking for something different in your pro wrestling podcasts? Look no further than the Pro Wrestling Super Show. Join me, Stephen Graham, every week as I'm joined by a rotating door of guests as we discuss a single topic each show, ranging from ECW pay-per-view reviews, wrestler snapshots, top six lists, and anything else you can think of. That's the Pro Wrestling Super Show every week here on the Place to Be Nation.
So you got the script, yeah? You all got it?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds terrible. The Titans are wrestling. Oh, brilliant. Sorry. The Titans are wrestling off.
Pete, I'm a lead analyst for a show at Breakdown Matches.
Kelly, lead historian. I'm a jobber lover. Are you?
Johnny and I drink.
And yes, me, Bob. We watch old school wrestling and love it.
Titans of Wrestling.
You know you want to hear it.
What's going on? This is the Godfather, Nate Milton, with an offer you cannot refuse. Each and every week, join Marcus Vandenberg and myself for the world's most dangerous sports show and the program that's changing the game one show at a time, the Kings of Sport Podcast. Available exclusively on PlaceToBeNation.com, your one-stop spot for the best in sports and pop culture.
Hey, sports fans, Cowboy here. Make sure you make your weekly stop by the Sports Lounge here on PlaceToBeNation.com, where the boys and I tackle all the hot topics in the world of sports. We go behind the numbers and provide in-depth expert analysis on Major League Baseball, MMA, NFL, and more. The seats fill up quick, so grab your favorite cigar, kick back, and join us in the Sports Lounge, only on PlaceToBeNation.com.
In Rhode Island, and look for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick. With over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers, and a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Boneheads also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
Hey!
Hey, this is Rob Naylor. Do you still enjoy pro wrestling? Believe it or not, I still do. So you better join myself and Will on the Google Wrestling Podcast exclusively at PlaceToBeNation.com.
Shit, I wasn't ready. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening and... Shit. Hey, this is Will. If you like listening to guys talk about old school wrestling, follow me and Charles on Wrestling with the Past podcast on Place to Be Nation.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at PlaceToBeNation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
Looking for new wrestling, sports, and pop culture voices? Head over to PlaceToBeNation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. We have an extremely talented staff that covers comics, video games, and all facets of entertainment. Our sports coverage spans all the major professional and collegiate sports, including MMA. Our fresh takes on professional wrestling are some of the best on the internet. Also, be sure to check out our friends at thehistoryofwwe.com, prowrestlingonly.com, Scott Keith blog at rspwfaq.net, and piledriverwrestling.net.
And welcome back, Police Be Nation, to episode 35 of The Extra Point. I am Scott Criscola with the doctor, Dr. G. George Bellino. PoliceBeNation.com, your home for everything pop culture. PTBN's NBA team podcast, the newest episode is up, called After the Fall, and we have one of those guys on in a moment to talk about it and other stuff. Ben Morris has his all-time September pay-per-view card. Of course, my PIC, Justin Rosero, and I, a couple weeks ago on the Place to Be podcast, did our all-time September and October pay-per-view cards. Ben Morris tried to challenge us and see if he can come up with his own September cards. That's on there. Mark Clair, still breaking down the top matches of 2014. Part 4 up today. Matches 10 through 6. The Great WrestleMania rebook continues. The guys rebooked WrestleMania 9, and Lord knows that show needed it. So they rebooked WrestleMania 9, and you can vote on which card you think is the best. Glenn Butler had his, and the rest of the guys had their walk Wednesday walk around the web. The Bauer Show, episode 96, went up today as well. Still chugging away the PTBN series rewatch, The Smelly Car for Seinfeld, season 4, episode 22. Justin Rosero, Aaron George, Andrew Flanagan, Jordan Duncan, breaking down all of the episodes of their beloved show. And this is, again, The Smelly Car, season 4, episode 22. As mentioned, the Great WrestleMania rebook continues, and they the guys rebooked WrestleMania 8. And Russell Sellers, his new hotness column, top picks for the month for the week in comics, etc., etc. So there you go. Place Me Nation, your home for everything pop culture. Well, I mentioned the NBA team podcast, which just went up a little while ago, and let me bring in one of the co-hosts. He is the Boogie of the Bayou. We are getting to his wheelhouse, baby. His time of the year is upon us, Mr. Andrew Reich.
You know, my palms start sweating when it's around this time. I almost can't handle it.
Shit going down, man.
Yeah, it's like Jesse Spano, I'm so excited on pills excited.
Of course, you know, Boogeyman, some of the conference tournaments have started. Some of the... lesser tournaments, you know, some of the mid-majors have started. As I mentioned earlier in the show, the MAC tournament, the Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference, the mid-major I follow, they start their tournament tomorrow, Thursday. Mm-hmm. Any mid-major teams you're peeking at this first week?
For this week that just started for the conference tournaments? Well, one of them is the Horizon, because even though the championship game occurs next Tuesday, the tournament starts this week. And I feel like those top two teams in that conference, Valparaiso and Green Bay, are really, really good teams. I think they could both compete in their first round games regardless. Valpo is just very well coached. And then and Green Bay's got Kiefer Sykes, who's one of the best mid-major players You mentioned Iona in the MAAC. That's a really talented offensive squad with three guys that average 15 points a game or more.
I've watched Iona three times this year. AJ English is a chucker. Lowry, I think. I don't know if he's an NBA player, but he's definitely a guy that could play in the D-League and maybe a call-up at some point down the line.
A shooter.
AJ English is a hell of a point guard. They are the most ungrateful fan base in the history of college basketball, though. I've never met a fan base who thinks that they're like the Duke of the mid-majors. No, they're not. But they have a great team.
He's so
I know. So Cleveland State will play Detroit, and the winner of that game gets Valpo. And then Oakland. Is it Oakland? Yeah, it's Oakland. What's that? Panthers, right? The Panthers of Oakland?
Yeah, in Detroit, right?
No, UIC. Detroit plays Cleveland State in the other. It's Cleveland State, Detroit, and Oakland, Illinois, Chicago.
Okay.
And they play, those games are tomorrow.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, Friday. Those games are Friday.
I like that Horizon one because, and I hate to open up an old wound, but it sort of reminds me of the Atlantic Sun, which is another conference tournament that's going on that I'm not so high on this year. But if you remember, and you'll probably remember,
yes,
the two previous winners in those conferences, and they actually played against one another in the championship game. One was Florida Gulf Coast, and they won in 2013, and then they upset Georgetown and got to the Sweet 16. The other one was Mercer, and they upset Duke. And I feel like when you have two really good teams at the top of a mid-major conference, it really ups your game and it gets you ready for your first game. Right. And I think that could happen with these two in the Horizon.
Well, the matchups in the Atlantic Sun, these games are going on tomorrow. North Florida, the number one seed, will take on Lipscomb, and they're the five. And then the two seed is those dreadlocked bastards from Florida Gulf Coast. They'll take on USC Upstate.
Yeah, the top seed is North Florida.
What a creative name for a school. USC Upstate. I don't even know what that means.
South Carolina Upstate.
Yeah, that's what I figured. Some other mid-majors. The Atlantic Sun, they're in their semifinals already. Oh, no, this is America East. I'm sorry, America East.
Yeah, that's the one where Albany is first. They were first. Like, they won the regular season. But, yep. I mean, maybe we can explore this in a second. But I know that it's exciting because every team is playing for their lives, but I really feel like winning the regular season should be enough for these smaller schools at these smaller conferences. I think the idea of having to play it out, and if you don't win your conference tournament, you're out because of your resume, I think that sucks. I think if you win your conference, that should be enough. Then you would truly get the best of the best.
Yeah, I agree.
I get the excitement factor of championship week, but I feel like a little bit of it is lost because almost half the time, a team that doesn't deserve it gets in.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because all you got to get a team is hot for
one game.
And, you know, the team, the better team has just an off day, and you don't get the good team to move on.
Yes.
And that's, it's not a good sampling.
Like, it's not a good representation. Like, CUSA, Conference USA, and that's the nickname they call CUSA.
CUSA.
Louisiana Tech and the other one was Southern Miss. They were definitely the best teams. Well, they played each other in the semis. Tech lost to Tulsa, who was coached by Danny Manning. Tulsa was not an NCAA tournament team, but they got in because they won that tournament.
Well, it showed. They got hammered in the first round.
By UCLA. And, and it's like, I'm not saying that, you know, winning a conference tournament should be meaningless. But I think for these smaller conferences, I think there should be more credence to how well you play throughout the entire season. Like, Murray State should be in the NCAA tournament right now, going undefeated in the Ohio Valley. The fact that they have to go out there and beat all these teams again in a 3 or 4 night marathon, I don't think that's fair.
By the way, the top four seeds in the America East advanced. Albany will play New Hampshire, and Vermont will play Stony Brook. By the way, on my client's air, the CBS Sports Network, tomorrow night, Southern Miss and Louisiana Tech against each other. So,
You're going to have to help me out with A-10 because that's one of your main guys on the CBS Sports Network.
Which yes, I am very
Scott is A-10. Always plugging. I do not watch the A-10 much, so you might have to help me out there.
Let's see. Well, this conference isn't over yet, so they don't have brackets or anything. But the top teams in that conference right now, Dayton, URI, Davidson – they're all kind of log jammed at the top. It's a very top-heavy conference. The bottom of the conference is trash. It's pretty much Dayton, URI, and
VCU.
Davidson. And VCU. I forgot about VCU. I forgot about Shaka.
Well, they just joined there like a year ago. So.
Yeah. So, and Dr. G, where is the Atlantic 10 tournament played?
The Barclays.
The Barclays Center in Brinklin.
Is that an Izod?
No, it's not Izod. Yes, every arena in the world is Izod.
That's our running joke.
Can WrestleMania be at Izod?
It could be this year, and I won't complain. You might actually sell it out.
Yeah, I know. That may be. Some scores tonight, Reese. I want your comments to see if helps or hurts some teams. Big win for Notre Dame tonight. The Irish went into the Yum! I call it the Bucket, the KFC Yum Center. They beat Louisville 71-59. How big a win for Notre Dame, and is it a tough loss for Mr. Pitino? What are your thoughts on that one?
It's not as tough of a loss for Pitino's team as the loss of Chris Jones was a week.
He's a piece of trash, as we've figured out.
Well, that's sort of it's not the exact same scenario, but it's also in tune with the Duke story that they let go Rashid Suleiman, but they had already had prior knowledge that he was accused of sexual assault. Well, it was the same kind of coincidental suspicions when they let Louisville Chris Jones go, and then a day later he's charged with rape. So the idea that these schools are already in the know through law enforcement about upcoming charges or accusations, and then they let him go so that they're not their problem anymore. I think people really kind of take offense to that, be thinking that the schools, I mean, breaking news, you know, major colleges are dirty and they don't, and they like to wipe their hands clean of dirty deeds. But I think it helps Notre Dame more than it hurts Louisville. I think Louisville was already on the skids anyway, but I think this is going to seal Notre Dame as a 4 seed. I don't think they're going to drop any further than a 4 seed.
Duke won big tonight. They pummeled, speaking of Danny Manning, poor Wake. 94-51 tonight at Cameron.
They play in North Carolina Saturday, and they had a terrific game in Cameron that went to overtime. 92-90. Very good game. Duke, I think, 1 through 3. When I mean 1 through 3, I mean like the top 3 players. I think they're the best team in the country. Like, if you look at just the top 3 guys, Jahlil Okafor, Tyus Jones, and Justice Winslow, those guys are unbelievable. And they're all freshmen, so the talent is unreal.
Okay. Big win for the Friars tonight, 24th-ranked Providence, 79-66. They beat Seton Hall.
No comment.
Hinton with 21. Yes, we know. You want to stab the Friar in the heart. They have senior day on Saturday against Butler. Speaking of Butler, Georgetown with a big win last night beating Butler. I want to talk to you about Kentucky. Tuesday night, down 9, I believe, to Georgia, with, I think, 9 minutes left, came back, won that game. That's like, what, the 13th time this year that they've trailed with less than 10 minutes to go in the game and came back and won? Reesh, I know everybody wants to my brother, too, wants to glorify this team as, like, you know, the UConn women as the greatest thing since sliced bread. But I'm sorry. If they keep doing this, if they keep lollygagging the first half, someone's going to sneak up on them, and their season's going to end. It's pure and simple. And I think, and to all the credit in the world, and he's still not one of my favorite people, but I think John Calipari knows that. Pure talent's one thing, but this is like the 9th time that they've trailed in the second half of a game and had to hustle to win. And they play a good, solid team in the second round or the regionals of the tournament, and they do this again, there may not be a comeback. What do you think?
I think you're embellishing just a bit about the 9 or 10 times. It's happened about 4 times. It happened against Ole Miss and Texas A&M when they first started conference play, and then they had a close one against LSU where LSU was up with about a minute and a half to go, and they just couldn't score. And you talk about the Georgia game where Georgia was on a roll early in the second half, and then at about the 5-minute mark, they fell apart. You know, I'll talk about another topic in a second, but first with the Kentucky thing is that I think there's more credit to be given to Kentucky's defense being so unbelievably good down the stretch of games and being able to come through in the clutch on offense and defense than it is that teams fall apart and crack underneath the Kentucky mystique. I think it's more of the team, the Kentucky team, being so good defensively and just being very well put together on how to run their offense and how to get easy scores when they need them at the absolute pivotal time. So I don't worry that much about it. And you say, like, what if a good solid team? I'm gonna tell you that I'm gonna tell you right now, a good solid team playing a good solid game will still lose by 20 to Kentucky. You need a really good team playing their best game to beat them. Because the other thing about Kentucky is some of those games that they had close ones with were kind of games that kind of fell through the cracks. The A&M game was kind of nothing. It was like the second game of conference play. The LSU game was sort of interesting because everyone said that LSU was going to give them trouble, and they did. Georgia was definitely a trap game. But I've watched them play in the big non-conference games, the Kansas game and the Champions Classic, North Carolina at home, when they played UCLA in Chicago. They fucking destroyed them all. And and they played Louisville when they were at their best, beat them by 8, limited them to 50 points. I think that they're fine. I think that they actually are peaking, which is unbelievable because they were playing so great to start the season. I think they're even better than they were to start the season. My big question with Kentucky, and I've thought this to myself all year long, wondering when the loss would happen, is a loss actually good? Because you don't have that undefeated 1976 pressure on you while you're trying to win this national championship.
Right.
You know, remember this. In 1996, the most famous Kentucky championship teams in recent history was 1996 when they had Rick Pitino and they had Antoine
Walker.
Crew.
Yeah.
It was like full of NBA players, like 10 or 11 guys that wound up playing in the NBA. Yep. Well, they lost to Mississippi State in the SEC tournament. And they had a loss basically going into the NCAA tournament. I thought that reinvigorated them. It scared them straight. And they played even better in the tournament because they tasted defeat. Anthony Davis's team in 2012 won the national title. They lost to Vanderbilt in the finals of the SEC tournament, you know. And sometimes you need to get scared straight. You know, I do think that the idea that losing is good for you is kind of silly. But I wonder if not losing and just winning, winning, winning all the way through and not losing a game, I wonder if that's going to start to compile on them and create even more pressure in the game if they wind up in a tight game. The
right.
problem with Kentucky, Scott, is that you got to keep the game close in the last 5 minutes or they're going to fucking rout you.
Yeah. Yep. They got one regular season game left. Saturday, they're home to Florida. And then, of course, the SEC tournament. Here are their close games. I know you had a question, Dr. J. Let me just get this out.
No,
I
have a question.
Oh, okay. Let's see. Let's look at their schedule. They beat Texas by 12. Mm-hmm. They beat Columbia by 10. There's a game they almost gacked.
They gave up 38 points against Providence.
Yes.
I'm just saying. Sorry, Justin. Just saying.
38 points again. But they only scored 58. It was a close game.
Mm-hmm.
Carolina, they beat by 14. Louisville, they beat by 8. And then here are the games you were talking about. They beat Ole Miss by 3 in overtime. They beat Texas A&M by 6.
Those are the first two games of conference play.
Double overtime. They beat Vanderbilt by 8. They beat Georgia at home by only 11. Beat Florida at Florida by 7. At LSU by 2. And then last night, at Georgia, won by 8. So they had to, maybe I'm thinking more close calls. Maybe they didn't get many leads, but that's more close calls than I thought.
The thing about Kentucky is that that has been proven by, like, because let's talk about the close games. Ole Miss, they played fast on offense. They made a lot of outside shots, and they fouled them a lot on the defensive end to force them to make free throws and never get into their offense. That's one way of playing against them, and it was close. A&M played a very strict man-to-man, and they tried to slow the game down, almost won it that way. LSU has two really good big guys, and they made a frantic rally and tried to hurry up Kentucky's pace. That almost got them. Then Georgia just did this really great motion offense and played a lot of zone. And all four of those worked in a ways, but they all fell apart in the last 10 minutes because Kentucky was just too good. So we don't really have a blueprint to how to beat Kentucky. None of the non-conference teams were even remotely close to beating Kentucky. So some team in a really good elite team like a Wisconsin, a Virginia, a Duke, someone in the Final Four of the Elite Eight or even further is going to have to face up against them and have a just a rock solid blueprint on how to take them out. Because right. all four of those ways are different that I mentioned, but none of them worked.
Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see. Again,
I mean, do you see them losing? I mean, do you think they'll go undefeated, or do you think the karma gods will bite them?
Well, do I think they'll lose before the tournament, or do I think
do you think they'll lose it all?
Yeah, I don't think they're going to go undefeated.
Now, they have a home game left. I'd be stunned if they lost that game against Florida. And so you got the SEC tournament in Nashville.
I could see them losing.
That's about three games if they get to the finals.
I don't know if they're. I don't know if they'll run the table.
They're probably going to be in the Midwest division because that is the closest proximity wise to the area. A lot of people think that the two seed would be Wisconsin.
Right.
That is where I think they'd be in trouble. I mean, we're jumping ahead with the previews. We're basically doing fantasy booking with the NCAA tournament. But yeah. if they play Kaminsky, they would have some problems.
Okay. All right. Well, we'll obviously get more into that, and then when we have our March Madness preview, we'll see how many of us vote them all the way through based on how the brackets will come out. All right, I'm going to fire some teams at you. Thumbs up, thumbs down. In or out?
Roman Reigns, thumbs down.
Dr. G says Brock Lesnar, always thumbs down.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, God, I got the two anti, bro. You guys got a root for Roman Reigns then. Nope, no Roman Reigns bashing from you two knuckleheads.
I told you there's a conspiracy theory. They're trying to build it up like Brock is a turncoat so that they can make them all cheer Reigns. I think it's coming true.
He got a little pop on Monday. All right.
I'd even root for Triple H over Brock Lesnar.
You should anyway. Does there need to be a circumstance? God. All right. Oregon.
Thumbs slightly up.
Okay. Texas A&M.
Thumbs up. I watched them play LSU twice, beat them both times. Solid team. Alex Caruso is a good player. Daniel House is a good player.
Okay. Cincinnati.
Thumbs up. I'm really pleasantly surprised at the job Larry Davis did in place of Mick Cronin, who went out with, I think, a brain aneurysm or something like that.
What was that?
Cronin.
Oh, Cronin. No, he's got some kind of nerve.
Or an embolism.
Yeah, he's got some kind of a I forgot if it was a
he basically sat
cardiovascular thing. Yeah, it's something to do with his blood
pressure.
Larry
Davis took over. They didn't retain a lot of talent from the team last year with Sean Kilpatrick. And they've done really, really well.
Okay. Purdue.
Thumbs down. They just don't have – they have A.J. Hammonds and Isaac Haas. I'm not really a big fan of the team, though.
Colorado State.
Thumbs down. They didn't. Their non-conference was not that good.
Indiana.
Thumbs up because of their offense. I think their offense would give at least one team trouble, but they are definitely right on that cut line right now. They are playing with fire.
You like Indiana, Dr. G. Wasn't that a Steinbrenner team? He liked Indiana, didn't he? Or maybe it's Bobby Knight was a Yankee fan or something of that.
there's rumors that if they don't make the tournament, Tom Crean's buyout significantly drops. And that he might get fired.
Well, he was on the hot seat even when the season started. So
Now it's really hot because they're on the bubble.
Yeah, Temple.
Thumbs up. I was impressed with their blowout win over Kansas a couple of months ago, albeit it was a while ago. But Fran Dunphy's just got this way. Here's what Temple does, man, and they even did it under John Chaney. They always do better than you expect when you least expect it, but yes. They always do their worst when you most expect it. Like, when you think they're going to be great, they stink. But when you don't think they're going to do anything, they play well. And I don't think anybody's really expecting anything out of Temple, which is great for Temple.
BYU.
Thumbs up because I like it. And let me tell you, this is the polar opposite of every year since we started this whole thing in 2011 because I didn't care for the Jimmer Fredette team. I thought they didn't deserve to get in the tournament those other 2 years that they did. But I do like this version because I like Collinsworth, who gets triple doubles all the time. And they've got Tyler Hawes, who's a really good shooter. So I like this version of the Mormons.
They're good people. They're wholesome. They don't foul. They don't foul hard either.
Dennis Rodman agrees.
Davidson.
thumbs down. I know they've done okay in A-10, but it's the A-10.
Texas.
Thumbs.
This is a bantered one. My brother will, what do you call it? Brother Chris? Like he's Brother Devon?
Brother Chris.
He'll get fired up. He despises Rick Barnes.
Rick Barnes is right in the same position as Tom Crean. It's now or never. You could almost argue, just like Bruce Weber in Illinois that year he got fired. This is one of those ones where if he doesn't make the tournament, this might be it for him. I have thumbs up here because now it's not very firm, but they're a great shot blocking team. They're a great rebounding team. They have a lot of size. Isaiah Taylor is a talented guard. I think they've got enough to be dangerous in the tournament, but they've been so inconsistent.
UCLA.
Thumbs down. I watched that Kentucky game. They beat them by 40 points. They did not look like an NCAA tournament team. And to be honest with you, even though they're playing Pac-12 teams, they look like the same exact team I saw 3 months ago.
Illinois.
Thumbs down. I think the Big Ten is down this year. I think that the idea that because they've won a few of those conference games boosts their resume because the Big Ten all overall has good strength in terms of conference. And also they got a non-conference win over Baylor. But outside of that, I don't really think much of them. They had to let go of a couple of guys due to misbehavior. I'm just not big on that team.
Pittsburgh.
I'm always thumbs down on Pittsburgh.
TJ McAloon would have something different to say to you, pal.
Jamie, well, here's why, man. Thumbs up Pittsburgh in the regular season. Jamie Dixon grinds the hell out of his team, does a great job. Tournament, bye-bye, sayonara, see you, wouldn't want to be you.
I think there aren't – since that loss in the regional final, what was it, 2009
to Villanova.
With the Scotty Reynolds
coast to coast. Yeah.
Yeah, they have been the same since.
They did win a tournament game last year against a Colorado team that shouldn't have been there. But outside of – this team is even less talented than that team. Right. I mean, this one, this is a completely nameless team.
Okay. Miami.
Can I do thumbs in the middle?
Sure.
Thumbs in the middle.
I mean –
50-50 thumbs. Equator thumbs.
It's like Back to the Future at the end. To be continued.
Stanford.
Thumbs up. They are missing Dwight Powell and Josh Eustace, who both wound up being drafted in the NBA. But they still have Anthony Brown, and they still have Chasen Randall, who's had a really good year. Stephon Nastic, who's a big guy from Canada. Johnny Dawkins did a pretty good job out of out-coaching Bill Self when they got to the Sweet 16. I don't know how much of a threat they're going to pose this time around because they haven't done a good job of replacing Powell and Eustace, but I do think they're just good enough to make it. Thumbs up.
ODU, Old Dominion.
Thumbs down. Kusa's not that strong. And even though they had a couple of good non-conference wins, if you start dropping games like that in Coosa, let me go take a look at this. They've lost five games in Coosa, which has Louisiana Tech, a good team, UAB, UTEP, Western Kentucky, Middle Tennessee, all middling teams. That's not good enough for me.
Okay.
Got to win your tournament.
Now, it's funny that you said that the Big Ten is down because I'm looking at now. I compare two bracketologies, obviously Lenardi with his St. Joseph's Feety pajamas and my man Jerry Palm with his Wichita State Feety pajamas.
Jerry Palm's hair is even weirder looking than Joe Lenardi.
Jerry Palm is weird looking if he had no hair. He's just weird looking. But
when he does that teleprompter spot, I just like cringe. It's like when John – it's like the Rothstein files. I just want to throw something at the fucking television.
Oh, God, I like throwing things at Rothstein myself. You talk about the down year for the Big Ten, but they have at the moment, based on Lenardi, they have the most teams in with seven.
They do. Big East was almost there, then Seton Hall went And
yeah,
then
they suck a duck.
And then there was another conference. Oh, Big 12, I think, is stronger. Big 10 has more members. I just don't know if they're going to be – if those teams as constituted are going to be as much of a threat or go further than maybe the other conferences that we're mentioning, like the ACC and the maybe even the Big East, you know, even though I'm not big on the Big East either. I'm sort of comparing Big Ten to how they were in 2013 and 2014, because I felt like the conference in 2013 was incredibly strong, and in 2014 it was still pretty good. So maybe I'm just being maybe I'm putting them on a harder learning curve. But I'm outside of Wisconsin, I'm not really sold on the rest of them. I don't know about Maryland yet. Ohio State has a great guard in D'Angelo Russell, but I'm not sure about them. I'm not sure about Iowa. Michigan State is Tom Izzo. You know how he does in the tournaments. I'm just not really sold on a lot of those teams except for Wisconsin.
Okay. And finally, and I actually just texted him, but he's not answering me because I was hoping he would come on and give you a few seconds. But we all know how my brother feels about Gonzaga. Have they permanently lost their number one seed slot? Losing to BYU?
Unbelievably, no. Because BYU loss, especially if they make the tournament, is actually not that bad of a loss. So, you know, Scott, when you get to that last one seed, which means you're number four in the overall, it really comes down to timing and who drops in front of you and who you can leap based on the strength of the wins that you can accumulate. Mm-hmm. The best wins that they're going to be able to pile up is either a win against San Diego or win versus the team against either BYU or St. Mary's in the finals. I think they're likely to win that tournament. It's going to be even better if they play BYU a third time, because if they beat them, it's the rubber match, and it looks like they exacted revenge for a loss at home. Is that a glaring loss? Yeah, it is, because the WCC is still very weak. But I don't think the number one seed is completely out of the picture, because I can still see a couple of those teams dropping. I do feel, though, Scott, that those top three lines, Kentucky, Virginia, Villanova, I think those are dead, ready, set. I don't think they're going to lose their one seeds. I think after that, you've got Duke. And, you know, if Duke drops a game in ACC play against North Carolina or the tournament, they might go to a two, and then maybe Gonzaga will jump them. But, man, the one – I don't know if you've noticed this, but the one line and the two line are so much stronger than the rest of the field. So much stronger.
This could be a very chalk tournament.
Yes, tournament. Well, I'll put it this way, and I'll even go, you know, maybe I'm spoiling it because I wanted to save it for the tournament, but I'll just go ahead and give you just kind of my two cents. I think this is going to be a tournament where either a one seed or a two seed wins every region. Like, I don't think there's going to be a team in the Final Four that's a two seed, that's a three seed or lower. I just don't see it. Because you got Kentucky, Virginia, Duke, Villanova, Wisconsin, who might get that one seed, Arizona, who I totally forgot, and Gonzaga. Those teams are all probably going to be one to two seeds. Do you really see all these other teams, Notre Dame, Utah, Oklahoma, Iowa State, Wichita State, North Carolina, do you see any of those teams really giving a threat to those teams? I'd
like to see Mike Bray win a tournament game eventually.
It's Mike Bray.
It is Mike Bray. It's a shame because I love this Notre Dame team.
But, I mean, do you see like a team that really has the ingredients to get hot and take out one of those top one or two seeds in those regions, regardless of the location?
No.
Like Iowa State with their three-point shooting, Arkansas with their fast pace, Providence, who has a great 1-2 punch, and LaDante Henton and Chris Dunn. You know, you got – I mean, I'm kind of reaching here, man. I mean, it's hard.
It is hard. I think it's just based on how the brackets will lay out. Mm-hmm. I think it's just based on matchup.
Brother Chris says it. It's all about your draw.
It's all about your draw. And speaking of Brother Chris, he never got back to me. He's probably putting boxes away. All right. Mr. Reich, you're the man. Check out his NBA team cast. Newest one up now after the fall. Reich, I will talk to you again week from Monday, the next night. You'll be joining
myself, Mr.
Rosero, Matt Rotella. He'll be bringing up the bracket shock wall. And Brother Chris, and we'll break down the tournament for you that night.
You know, I love that show.
Yes.
It's bigger than WrestleMania.
And it'll be the second time in 4 years that my PIC may hit record and walk away. Like he did the last time when he had a newborn. Reese, you're the man. Dr. G, you and I will be back about a week and a half. We will have our big jacked up 2015 Major League Baseball preview. We'll be joined by Joel Barnhart. We'll break down all six.
I get the sweaty palms just like Reese does when it comes to that time of the year.
Yep, and we'll break down all six divisions, Cy Youngs, MVPs. Can the San Francisco Giants repeat? Are the Mets better than the Yankees? Are the White Sox better than the Cubs? Both teams will be pretty good this year, so we'll see. For the Boogie and for the Doctor, I'm the other guy. Have a good week and a half.
See ya. I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? You were 17. In all the time I've known you, I still don't know what you mean. The weekend in the college didn't turn out like you planned. The things that pass for knowledge I can't understand. Are you reeling in the years, stowing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, throwing away the time? Are you gathering up the tears? Have you had enough of mine? Are you reeling in the years, sowing away the